12. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we now approach the Word of God, we approach the greatest thing that has been deposited in our life. And Father, today, as your people have a hunger and a thirst to hear the Word of God, Father, I pray that the things that I say be accurate, they be given to your people with understanding, clarity, and that, Father, between both the ear and the mouth, much can be accomplished in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. Romans 12. We're talking about the process of the renewing of the mind. And as we stated last week, changing the way you think is not easy. In the natural. It's not an easy process. The reason that I know is I live with myself. And so thinking, changing the way you think, can be a very challenging thing. Especially when you have to deal with yourself. We call that self-image. And we're to be changed into the image of Christ. That's something else. Praise God. So we read the first three verses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is where he's saying the first step to mind renewal is that your bodies be brought in check. They're under control. If the physical body is not under control, your process for mind renewal is going to be greatly hindered. Turn off your cell phones, please. Praise God. So he goes on to say that this is holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the word literally, logical service. And be not conformed to this world. This means to be externally fashioned. Externally fashioned. But be ye transformed, metamorphosized, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Most believers think that the good is a good place to be. Well, it's all right to be in the good, but you got to remember that's not the acceptable place. The second place is what's acceptable, and then, of course, the perfect will of God. And God wants you in His perfect will. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. Amen. He wants us to walk in His perfect will. But notice what He says here. He says that through the process of the renewing of your mind, you graduate or you bring to a place in life, an understanding of what the tests of life can bring you, you understand the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So it is through the process of the renewing of a mind that brings you to the matured state of the will of God, the perfect or matured state of the will of God. And if you don't come to that place of maturity, you never grow spiritually. It says that when a man matures in God, it's because he's had his way of thinking changed. Amen? Now, he goes on to say, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think, and then of course our translators put of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God dealt to each man a measure of faith. Now, I want us to look at verse 3 again with 4. For as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office. So here's what he's actually saying in verse 3. Remove of himself there. Just take that out. And let's read it without that. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, every man that is among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God dealt to each man a measure of faith. He's literally saying in verse 3, the best way I can word it is to think on an equality with each other. To think on equality with each other. That would be the best way for me to put that verse. It's not referring to yourself personally thinking soberly about yourself. He's literally saying that there's going to be the process of mind renewing. And he was literally saying that as you present your body a living sacrifice so that you can go on into maturity, good, acceptable, perfect will of God. He says where you're going to start is you're going to have to start on the level of equality with everyone. And this is the problem that Paul had in the early church, and it is a major problem that we have today, is that the church has got its focus on the glory of men rather than the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in men. And so as a result of looking to the glory of a man or the impression that men give you, sometimes these impressions are not good impressions, because even though in the natural they've got a lot of glory about them, literally what comes out of their mouth could be wrong. Are you guys focused today? You know something? God told me right off. I graduated out of Bible school, the Assembly of God. And Sue and I together, we have certificates. I have them up in my office. I even have yours up there, Sue. And we went to this school voluntarily, and it was given through our denomination. And I had been so programmed by the school that when I had someone pin me against the wall and begin to preach me the Word of God, it was almost like he was violating everything that I was taught contrary to. And I sat there and I didn't know how to react to it, because my mind had been filled with this school, and then he was breaking down the Word of God quite differently than what I was accustomed to. And so I got confused, and I went to the Lord and I began to pray. And you know, the Lord never discredits anybody. He doesn't speak against people negative. He just gives you instruction and leaves you with it. God's not a gossiper. He doesn't talk against people or anything like that. But he just gives you instruction when you get confused. And I said, God, how am I going to eliminate confusion? Because this is what the Word of God does say, but this is what I've been taught differently. And God told me, he says, if you will do me one thing, if you will pray and submit yourself to me, I will give mentors into your life that I want you to listen to. Because I don't want you to give ear to just anything that comes down the pike. Right. Amen. And I says, well, I hadn't thought of it at that time. Of course, you and I today, we don't think of this as being something important. But I've learned who you put your ear to can have an effect on you. Because there's such a thing as mind renewal through environment. You can just baptize your mind in this right environment, and that's mind renewal. And there are teachers that are teaching that. And that is contrary to how your mind gets renewed. Your mind has to be renewed by the Holy Ghost, not by the glory of men. And sometimes when I highly respect even a mentor, and they're teaching something that I question, I don't disregard what they're saying. I just put it on the shelf and try to let God show me how the Word of God fits that. Are you following me? And so I give it time. I give it a season to work itself out, because I have respect for my mentors. I'm going to tell you something. When God removed me from my idol one time, one of my high mentors, it was not Dave Roberson. This was a particular teacher there at Rhema. And when God removed him from my life, I sat bawled like a baby, because I sat there and listened to tapes that was so out of it, I couldn't believe he would teach that. And at one time I absorbed that information. I thought it was the greatest thing that I ever ate concerning sliced bread. You know, I felt that. And when my mentor fell off its white horse, I went to God and I said, why? And God said, I never gave him to you. And it dawned on me, he didn't. He just was a part of my life. He says, I told you to be careful who you to give ear to and who not to. You know, a lot of people attend different churches because of circumstances rather than being led of God. They think they're being led of God, but a lot of times it's just nothing but a bunch of a knife cutting that happened to you in one place, so you decide to change environment. You know. Thank God the Holy Ghost is our teacher regardless of who we sit under. Oh, I got one amen. Now, notice he says the first step to getting your mind renewed is the fact that you have to think on everybody on inequality. Because, now notice he says, because the reason you have to think of every man on an equality, is because God is going to deliver to that person a measure of faith. He wasn't talking about me getting a measure delivered to me. That's obvious that'll happen. But he's saying, he's setting a precedent here. He's saying the first step to understanding that a man's mind has to be renewed is that you have to start thinking on an equality with everyone. You can't exalt one person over the other because that will bring deception to you. You've got to be able to listen to people and understand what they're saying in order to discern whether it's of God or not. Now he says the reason or the purpose of this is because every person has a different call. Can I hear an amen again? Every person has a different call. Every person has a different call. And so, God's going to deal with these people according to how God has placed him in the body of Christ. That member into the body of Christ. See, you are a member of the body of Christ, but I didn't place you there. Somebody else did not place you there. God placed you there. And so the value that God has for you isn't predicated on what we think. It's predicated on what God thinks about you. Amen. Now, notice. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone member one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now notice verse 6, 7, 8. Notice this. He is literally now giving you an understanding that there is a specific charismatic gift that is instilled in each person in the body of Christ. It is a gift called charisma. A charisma. Which tells me something. When you're on the way or on the journey, did you know that when you're born of God, it's spiritual? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But how many of you are you're still natural? Mm-hmm. So what he's saying there, the first verses that he's really referring to here, is that everyone has been given a charisma from God. A direct attachment to the Lord that you never had before. That's why he used the word charisma. Amen? And so these verses are verses that talk about the beginning stages of mind renewal. The first stage that God wants you to focus in on is thinking on an equality is this, that God has a purpose for everybody. And he has a supernatural purpose as well. Everyone. Have you ever thought of somebody like that? Maybe you've gotten a fight with and hate now? Have you ever thought, in spite of what you think about them, did you know that God has his hand on their life whether you like it or not? Because 1 John tells us, he says, he that's born of God also loves you. You see. So is that we have in the church of God, stability. Kate, yourself, is where you're can. That is it's the first place in our own self-image. We get all muddled up in, amen? I quiet that I don't put on my heart to do. Read morning. And you notice something about Proverbs? There's something that I've never noticed before until I got to meditating on this mind renewal that we're going to be dealing with. Mind renewal, remember what I said, begins in Romans 12:1, and it literally ends where? Where did I say it ends? 15:7. So the writer is dealing with mind renewal. Now notice verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. That means without hypocrisy, but sincere. Abhor, have a strong feeling of horror against evil. And cleave to that which is good. Be totally submitted securely to what is right. Now, from verse 9 on to the end of chapter 12, he's dealing with, are you ready? Functional relationships, which a person who says their mind is being renewed, literally a lot of times their ability to relate to other people and have good fellowship with them stinks. And yet they'll tell you their mind is being renewed. Well, when you understand that when verse 3 and 4 is finished, from that point on, Paul gives you an exact understanding of what a renewed mind looks like. And guess what? When your mind starts getting renewed, your fellowship with people gets healed. Now let me ask you something that God asked me, and I expect your head to lock up like it did mine. What is the purpose of Paul clearly defining what a renewed mind looks like? Why did he do that? What is the purpose for him giving every single verse in perfect chronological order? What is the purpose for it? Why would he tell me to renew my mind and this is what it looks like? Can anybody tell me? Now we know that when a man's mind's renewed, he's brought into maturity. I won't ask you, John, because I shared it with John. What is it? The Lord asked me, what's the purpose in it? I'm going to tell you something. God has to deal to each one of us a measure of understanding. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Every one of us. Guess what? I picked it up off of this verse. Pray for those that are in authority so that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life for the gospel to have freedom to be told. So you know what? In times outside of war, the gospel has its freedom to express itself. Did you know a renewed mind? The best thing for a renewed mind is the fact that you are placing yourself in the proper position that a renewed mind would take so that you would have peace to renew your mind with. And one thing that helps God to be able to speak into your mind is the example of someone else who is following the rules of creating the right environment for your mind to get renewed. It creates an environment where you're not distracted. I don't know how many times in our church, through relationships, male, female, I've seen such upheaval between the two that they never find time to sit there and really be able to take in the Word of God in such a way their mind is renewed because of the circumstances that surround them all the time. How can your mind get properly renewed when your environment is full of rabid fighting dogs all the time? Tell me how you can concentrate if somebody grabs you and throws you in the pen with two pit bulls and they charge you. Tell me how much you can focus on the Word of God in that kind of situation. You can't. So Paul, the reason he gave these verses and telling us what this background, this environment, what is so good about it, is it gives you a state of peace so that you can concentrate on the Word of God, so you can be brought to maturity. We just think Paul just gives us these verses and tells us, be kindly affectionate one towards another, just so that we can be kind and affectionate towards one. This is a good environment for a person to be able to come into church, sit down, and pay attention to the Word of God. Amen. It's very hard to pay attention to the Word of God when you got your neighbor back right next to you backstabbing you. Oh, praise God, I'm preaching so good. Whether you guys like it or not. Turn over to Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, go to verse 17. And Jesus said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, say flesh and blood, hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And notice this, the government structure of hell shall not have victory over it. Or even against it. Won't even have victory against it. Now, he said, Whom do men say I am? And all of them said, and they were just saying what men were saying he was. And Peter goes, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Guess what? God gave him that insight. Can I hear an amen? And Jesus turned and said, Good for you, Simon. This is how I'm going to build my church. It's going to be by revelation. He says, and once you have the understanding of how revelation comes, he says, that's going to be the authority. The authority, the keys of the kingdom. That's going to be the authority of my kingdom. Something that God revealed. Don't worry, Peter messes it up down the road. He turned around and he said, Thou art an offense unto me, Satan. Get behind me. He was speaking to Peter. Just a few verses. Because you can hear from both realms. You can hear from the natural realm, and you can hear from the spiritual realm. Well, at least I can. I don't know about you guys. I didn't hear an amen. Now, notice he says, the gates of hell. Well, you know what? Jesus didn't leave us hanging there. He went on to say how the process of revelation would come. How the Father can speak to you. Are you ready? Verse 24. It's still on the same subject, whether we like to believe it or not. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let a man deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For, he tells you how to do it. For, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Oh, that is so sweet. Ooh. That thing is loaded, that statement. Because the word life there is not zoe. It is suke. Whenever the term suke is used in the Bible, it literally means your natural living, your natural life. And so what Jesus is saying, if a man wants to follow me, he has to deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In order for you and I to get our minds renewed, the first thing we have to be willing to do is to let our bodies be a living sacrifice. What is a living sacrifice? It's you get up on your cross. You got to get on your cross. You know, we look at the Lord Jesus on the cross. He ain't there no more. We still got to put this guy up on that cross. The minute we put him on that cross, we're a living sacrifice. That means now we're in a prime position to begin to deny ourselves. How do we deny ourselves? Because you were raised by the God of this world. You were raised by a principality. Not directly, but maybe indirectly by somebody else. And your mind was programmed according to this world. And guess what? If you want to get revelation knowledge from God, the first thing that is going to equip you for renewing of the mind is you've got to learn how to deny that former life so you can take up the new one. That's not easy. Seeing how everything exists in the realm of logic. Logic. Logic, 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 logic. 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 Logic, 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 logic. You know how many logics are in your life? Logic 1, logic 2, logic 3, logic 4, logic 5. Senses. The senses. You want to know the meaning of logic? I went and looked it up. Greek, English. Logic. The science of pure reasoning. A sequence of reasoning. Certain causes that have certain results. Logic of necessity. Logic of events. This is where inherent guiding principles are there. It's how conclusions can be vividly derived from giving principles. Logic. Logic. Logic, logic, logic. I go to the doctor. Logic, logic, logic. He is Dr. Logic. Why? Because he has given me information from governing principles in my life. Logic. Is there anything wrong with that? Absolutely not. There's nothing wrong with logic. It's logical that when the light changes from green to red, you stop. But really, yellow gives you the insight ahead of time. John Cook knows nothing about that. He's Mr. Yellow Man. His logic is, beat the yellow light before it turns red. Me? No, what I do, I'm not anointed like this guy. Mine's orange. So logic, we can't live without logic in our life. How many of you know that? You have to have sensual insight. Now, there are some Christians that have become idiots. They don't recognize how to balance their life out. It's kind of like the three preachers that went to hell. The Baptist preacher, he's kind of shocked because he thought, once saved, always saved. I don't know how I ended up here. And then, of course, the Pentecostal preacher, he says, yeah, I knew it. I knew I was headed for hell. I knew it. I knew I couldn't get good enough. And then the faith preacher, I don't believe I received this. He doesn't have any logic operating in him. Now, I told you that every morning I get up and I'm reading Proverbs. It's very interesting how much logic is in Proverbs. Can I hear an amen? How many of you read Proverbs every morning when you get up? How long have you been doing it, Debbie? About 8 years. You're a veteran, man. You're a veteran. Who else has been reading Proverbs every day? How long have you been doing it? 20. Professional. You know how long I've been reading Proverbs every day? Intermittently. Probably if you put it all together, I could claim a month. And that's being honest. I'm just being honest with you. If I look back at the time I did it, because I get on these kicks. Oh, God wants me to read Proverbs. Real good until you get into reading them and you go, yeah. Get tired of it and you back away. But God put an impression upon me to read Proverbs every morning so that it would create within me an understanding of what is right from what is wrong. And I've noticed that logic is there. Tremendous logic. But did you notice that I also know that there's an understanding of what is not logical in Proverbs? Especially for someone who's an unbeliever. Like you get over in Proverbs 6, and it talks, or Proverbs 4, and it talks about how you're to give ear to the Word of God because out of it flow the issues of life. Well, you know, a natural man can't receive that kind of proverb, but someone who's born of God or someone that knows the Lord, that would have some meaning to it. Amen? Right? So, here is the problem with getting our minds renewed, is that we have to be consistent of what is God's and what is not God's. Now, this is going to be a wealth of information for you because it is really helping me. Because there are some areas of my life I have to step out cold turkey and begin to do. Because I know that I can perform it because God's Word says I can. But you know, a lot of times what hinders me from just going cold turkey on the Word of God, logic. Because logic can be a very damaging part of our life. But it can be a blessing to our life, but it can be a curse at the same time. And so I asked God, I said, okay, what is the conclusion then? When I look at logic and I look at that which is spirituality, what are you trying to tell me? And here's what he told me. He says the Word of God has the ability to get submitted to God, natural logic to the Word of God. Oh, duh. That's what he's saying. He's saying what the Word of God will do is will take natural logic and infuse it with God's Word. Are you following me? Or we could say God's logic if we want to. The way He reasons. And I'm going to tell you something. God is not natural logic. God is supernatural logic as well. He's in natural logic, but He's also supernatural logic. Now what did we say reasonings or logic was? It was reasonings. Now if you will turn over to 2 Corinthians... Are you guys getting mind renewal? We're talking about thinking different. And the way that you begin the process of thinking differently, you've got natural logic that you're dealing with and spiritual insight at the same time. Amen. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
Boy, if you don't believe that, then you're dumb. Because everything about the Word of God violates natural logic. Doesn't do away with it, but it sure doesn't make sense when you connect the two together. Have you ever noticed some men of God? And how God used them? Look at Gideon. God approaches him. Right away, he knew Gideon had a low self-esteem. So he approached him right away and said, "Thou mighty man of valor." Gideon, he was shook up. He saw an angel. He hides behind something. I think this time it was a tree. Thou mighty man of valor. Oh, he was going to approach Gideon apart from logic. Not do away with it. But approach him on. And everything that God... You know what Gideon was full of? Logic.
If you want me to call these guys a little apple?
Logic. That's all. What about David? He hears this... The army of God cowing down to this big mouth. And David looks and says, "Hey, somebody ought to be mad about this. You hear what he's saying?" You know, David never dealt with logic. David was not a logical guy. I mean, even the Hebrew priest figured he was whacked. Because of the way he worshiped God. Totally contrary. Well, David had a revelation. He saw the person, not the shadow. His name was Jesus. So he did everything according to what he saw. Revelation. The gates of hell couldn't stop this guy. He said, "Hey, you big mouth, I'm going to cut your head off, feed it to the fowls of the air." What's logic about that? God doesn't deal only in logic. There are times you have to remove logic to get God's will in your life. And that thinking differently. Thinking differently. And most of us speak out of logic, but we want a miracle. Miracles don't come through logic. They're illogical. What happened to the axe head?
It fell off and I borrowed this thing. I got to get back to the guy.
Okay, says the prophet. Come here, axe head. And it swims. This couple there in Klamath Falls told me that story is far-fetched. It's a lie. That axe head never swam. I says, well, that's understandable when you think about it according to the senses. They didn't like me after that. Now, notice in 2 Corinthians 10 here, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of a stronghold, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now notice what he's saying here. These reasoning, casting down imagination, this is a Greek word, reasoning. And what he's talking about, and he defines what kind of reasonings these are. Are you ready? They are reasonings of logic that argues against the knowledge of God. Because it says that they are a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. When your mind is going to be renewed, you are going to be removed from natural logic? No! You're going to be removed from the trusting of natural logic over into trusting on the logic that is found in God, and it merges together. Oh, glory to God. You're getting it. I know it. I'm getting it, preaching it to you. You go to a doctor, and you know the first thing he's going to tell you? First thing he's going to tell you is, according to all the symptoms, this is what you have. It's the principles of an inherited thing, or of a thing that you've inherited. Now, here's what logic says. This is what you must do to maintain this thing. Logic will not tell you how to supernaturally get rid of it. So you know how logic creeps in there? The first thing logic tells you is you better obey his voice, because you now have the symptoms. You know there's nothing wrong with that. There isn't a thing wrong with that. But you better get the purpose of God into your life, because sometimes their logic is your death. And it'll creep back in. You know what Kenneth Hagin said? He said he'd go to the doctor, and the doctor would give him logical information. He said he violated every bit of it. Why? He violated it through the Word of God. He didn't obey anything they said. He went right to God, and he asked God, am I the reason that this thing is here, or is it just something I have to believe out of? And God showed Dad Hagin every time he got out of the will of God. And for him, ministry-wise, he got back in the will, got totally healed. But he never gave any consideration for any logic, because he taught that logic is valid, but when it speaks against the knowledge of God, it's invalid. And if you obey the doctor over God, you got a problem in your thinking. Now, most of us want our minds renewed, but we want it in an environment that is not conducive for renewal. It's not conducive to get doubt out of our life. And a lot of us are prone to logic because of the environment we keep ourselves in. It gets very tough. Now, I'm going to stop on this. Are you guys getting something here? Because I'm working on some things in my life that's going to be removed, but I'm not doing it like it's... In other words, I believe God can give me the correct discernment to get to that place where my victory belongs to me. Listen, the information doctor gives you doesn't belong to you if you're a child of God. What belongs to you as a child of God is what God's Word promises you. I was looking at 2,000 years of charismatic Christianity. Oh, have you guys got that book? Yeah, we did this. Oh, I don't know about Bible school. Did you guys do that? You know what I noticed? Now, I want to share something with you about logic. We live in a natural world, so we have to have logic in our life. Amen. Now, taking a look at what Paul said about a home that's divided up. You have one that's a believer and one that's an unbeliever. He says, sanctify that home. If the home can be sanctified, remain intact. If it can't be sanctified, get out of it. Why did he say that? Because your environment has a great effect on your ability to get your mind renewed. Why? Because even though we have scriptures that tell us what a renewed mind looks like, if you're in an environment that's not conducive for mind renewal, guess what happens? It's very difficult for you to focus, because you've always got logic staring you in the face. So you have to do something to counteract that logic. You just don't sit there and say, I don't believe I received this. You're in hell, baby, and you don't know it. That's not the answer. I was reading about all these famous men that at one time I didn't even know. Right after the church, you know, the 12 had gone on and they had their converts and so forth. Like Antony and Ambrose and Tertullian and all these guys. See, I never really knew too much about their history, but this guy did a research on the history of these guys. And when I was reading about the history of these guys, I was flabbergasted. I never heard about these guys, but listen to this. Listen about Anthony, the life of Anthony. According to Athenaeus, many people from all walks of life visited Anthony in the desert seeking his prayers and wisdom. He is said to have possessed a gift of discerning of spirits and often knew things supernaturally. His prayers brought healing to the sick and deliverance to the demonized. Athenaeus speaks of a particular occasion when many gathered at the entrance of Anthony's cave seeking his prayers. Anthony finally emerged, and through him the Lord healed the bodily ailments of many present and cleansed others from evil spirits. Anthony lived until his 105th year, according to Athenaeus, and he remained physically strong to the end. His eyes were unabated, and he retained all of his teeth. Shortly before his death, he visited the other monks in the desert and shared with them that it would be the last time they would see him. They responded with tears and embraced, and he in turn joyously exhorted them to continue in their devotion to God. And shortly thereafter, having given directions concerning the distribution of his few meager possessions, he pulled his feet under him like Jacob, Genesis 49:33, and died with an expression of joy on his face. And these are many, many about the charismatic Christianity that has been here for thousands of years. Denominationalism, he says, has only been in the last 100. So we've been church the last 100 years. But the reason I brought this up is there was always something that I asked the Lord why they were so successful in their endeavor to have success with God. And you know what it was? Did you know Anthony? I didn't read you the part about his life. You know, he was born to wealthy parents. Matter of fact, he had something like a 3,450-acre mansion or whatever it was. And he sold it all and decided to retreat. And he retreated. And this is where we get the monastats, the places where at one time they would get off away from everyone, and they would begin to meditate totally and give themselves to prayer and meditation of the Word of God. And this is where great victory was seen. And I asked the Lord, I said, well, he doesn't want us to cocoon. I don't believe that. Are you following me? But there was something notable about it, and here's what it was. They abandoned themselves from logic. Now, I don't believe you need to crawl off into a cave to have success. You follow what I'm saying? But I do believe that you can put yourself into a state or a position to where your mind would excel greater by not being permeated by natural logic over the Word of God. Are you following me? I don't believe you need it, because they didn't understand what we understand about the Word of God, but they had results. Are you following me? Now, they didn't have the results that we've got today, even though they lived within a cave dwelling. God wants us cave dwellers, because God wants us to intermix with each other. That's part of mind renewal, is rubbing elbows with each other. You follow what I'm saying? But I didn't know, the reason I said all that is to say this. There's something about our natural environment that will be so conducive for us to foster doubt all the time when we make a decision we're going to get free of something. It's one thing to know to do the right thing, but it's another thing to have that right thing that you should do come against the knowledge of God. So I'm convinced that what God wants us to do is He wants us not to do away with natural logic, but He wants us to be able to make a distinction where natural logic begins and where it ends when it comes to the knowledge of God. And Paul tells us where it ends. Notice he says this reasoning, this logic, will speak against the knowledge of God. This is where you have to draw the line and say, I know what logic says, but this is what God promises me. And you have to build that into you. Because natural logic, how old are you? How old are you? Well, I'm 41. It's not logical. Anyway, I'm 61. I have 61 years over many for logic to work. That's why children are very impressionable at a very young age, because logic hasn't taken its roots in them to speak against the knowledge of God. Now, as they grow up, parents have the ability to force logic into them. Is that not a good thing, you know?
Mommy, can I believe for a healing?
Oh, don't be ridiculous. That's at charismatic churches, you know. You got to stay away from them.
You know, my friend, she speaks in tongues. What's that?
Oh, don't talk about them tongues. That's demons. Demons are speaking out of them.
Write this down, because this is where we're going next. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, and then we'll get right back into Romans 12. Are you guys getting something? How many of you here can truthfully say that logic or reasoning could possibly be stopping you from getting a miracle? In the process of the renewing of the mind, when we look at all these verses in Romans 12, it's going to really bless you, because if this certain environment is accomplished in you, then that kind of thinking will actually promote growth in you. For an example, he says, let everyone be subject to the higher power. See, that kind of mind renewal means that you respect authority. It doesn't mean you always respect those in authority, but you respect authority. Well, see, if you don't understand respecting authority, how can you be acquainted with the centurion soldier? I'm a man under authority. If I say do this and I say do that, the men under me obey that. And I recognize you're a man of authority, and so therefore I trust in your words. Are you following what I'm saying? And so, see, these are things you need to understand about mind renewal. If that isn't in you, then your thinking has to be someplace else. And if you're thinking someplace else, then you're not on the perfect groundwork in order for you to get your mind renewed. And another thing we're going to cover next Sunday morning really strong is the understanding the nature of God. In order to interpret Bible truths, you have to know God's nature, the reason why he said what he said, by nature, not by just words. There's a reason why he said what he said, because of his nature. We covered that in our Sunday school program. Those of you that are missing Sunday school, I'm ashamed of you. Because if you think you can get something just coming once or twice a week from the Word of God, okay, sarah, sarah. You get into Sunday school class, it gives you a chance to really interact even with other brothers and sisters and get this word down in you. That's the key. Not so we can hold a Sunday school class. Amen. Okay, thank you, everybody. Stand up, please. Hallelujah. 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 Father, as we now conclude this service this morning, there's some issues that we want to clarify with this body this morning. Number one is that if you're truly born again, born from above, because without that, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And so if there be anybody here today that does not even know whether they're truly saved or not, we want to give an invitation to you to come forward and receive confirmation as to what salvation really is all about. It's not thinking good things. It's not doing good works. It's simply recognizing and believing into the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you question that, or if you've never given your heart and life to him and would like to this morning, we're going to give you that opportunity. And if you are a believer that has broken fellowship with the Lord, this morning you need to get back into that place of communication with Him. Because through that place of communication, relationships are fortified, strengthened. So important. And of course, if you haven't had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then you're left to the understanding of the Word of God on your own. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to possess your mind, and He takes a hold of it with your tongue, that heavenly language that is the language of your spirit, and frees it up to speak through you, you have the greatest opportunity to grow spiritually than you've ever had. And so if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, then we're going to give you that opportunity. So with those three things in mind, salvation, restoration of your walk, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we would like you to step out right now and come forward. Anybody? You've come here for the first time today and you see clearly that you might need one of those three areas. Then our altar ministers are here to minister to you as you respond to that. Anybody? Don't you hesitate. Don't feel a fear to. If there's any one of those three areas you know you need to work on, please step out and let us pray with you. Anybody? Anybody? Hallelujah. Now I want to do something a little different this morning before we close. I'm not asking for you to do a whole scenario of your whole life in doing this. But how many of you know that there's something that easily is tripping you up because of logic? That when I dismiss, I want you guys to come to this altar and I want you to kneel down and I want you to talk to the Lord and ask Him what the first basic step would be to eradicating that doubt, that distrust, and that logic. How many understand what I'm saying? Talk to the Lord. Don't talk to me. We can't lay hands on you to get that. This is something you have to seek the Lord for. And I just felt impressed in my spirit this morning that when we dismiss, take a few minutes to come to the altar, kneel, and ask the Lord to help you in that area that logic seems to really trip you up in some area. And I'm not asking you to do a whole evaluation of your life. Maybe just pick on one thing that you'd like to get that thing behind you more than anything else. Pick on that one thing right away. You know what I mean? Instead of picking on your whole life. It's crazy. Take one step at a time. I saw this movie, What About Bob? And he always tried to convince him of the little baby steps. You know what I mean? That's all you need to do is take one step at a time. Christians are just blatantly, oh, I'm surrendering all for the Lord. They're the first ones to hit the floor hard. Take one thing at a time. Amen. Talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, I got this right here. I want to deal with this right here. I need you to help me. Speak to me. Give me the wisdom to take that first. And even if it doesn't seem logical, it's more like God. Do it. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. Now as we dismiss them, those that come to the altar, Father, I know that your anointing is here. I sense it. It's here to speak and meet the needs of your people. And with that, you're dismissed. Those of you that would like to come forward, kneel, feel free to do that now. The rest of you are dismissed. Please exit quietly.